Coming up on the Call of the Midwife After Show, we have Trixie searing some citrus, Timothy is smitten by a Hungarian kitten, and it's the debut of Sister Winifred's suckling sock puppets. All that and more in just a minute.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
And welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us for another Call of the Midwife After Show. This is Series 7.
Series season
episode
7.
Episode 2. Thank you for... I could get the intro, but I couldn't get that. Thank you very much. I'm John, coming forward. Joined in the studio by Tamara Berg.
Hi, everybody.
And Courtney Stewart.
Hello, guys.
Oh, yes. Well, it's back. We were had a great time watching the show. I didn't mention the main storyline of this particular episode, but I wanted to jump right into it because we have Lucy on her first outing.
Yes.
Yes, she filled in last week, but this time she's out there on her own and she gets to visit the Stanton Shivers conglomeration.
Salon.
Yes, exactly. She's at the salon. That's right. That's what I forgot. I wanted to talk about how I thought it was great having it at the salon. We have all the... Yentas, the gossipers.
Sure.
And yes, exactly.
Yeah, in lieu of a town square, we have a beauty salon.
Uh-huh. Yep. All the discussion that entails. And of course, when Lucy shows up, May, who's the...
proprietress.
Yes, and the mother of Marjorie, who's a pregnant woman. Mm-hmm. She's not too thrilled, I guess. What's the phrase she used? Fresh off the boat?
You'll look just off the boat if we don't get those curlers out of your hair now.
Oh, nice. Okay, great. Now, warm and welcoming that is.
Yes. So sweet.
Sweet and kind.
And the moment thoughtful. She says it, Lucy walks in and the whole place is like,
Oops.
Needle rip. Yeah.
Embarrassing.
But interesting to note that Marjorie doesn't have this at all. She doesn't. It could be just she's in the throes of labor, but she doesn't have any vestige of this. In fact, what does it she say?
She talks about her mom. She's just a bit of a cow to everyone.
Yeah.
Okay. Just so we're clear about everything.
And she is.
Mm. So yes, she is.
Definitely a cow.
But, well...
anything else? Continues to perpetuate her cowness.
Oh my gosh, no kidding, right?
So we'll call her Mrs. Heifer. of course, Marjorie, while, you know, she's in there working and for the 9 months, and we even get to hear that, you know, if mom had her way, she'd be working there and barely even stopping to give birth.
Mm-hmm.
She goes right into labor pains right then. And of course, because Val is, it's not really, what is it, her day off? I guess it's her day off.
Maybe.
She said something about working on nights. But the point is that we bring Lucy in. And when Lucy gets there, Marjorie's in the throes of labor.
Mm-hmm.
And
even though she's complaining, my mom's not going to let me off for a day.
Yeah, exactly. And what I loved about this is that this is the first time I think we've ever had a delivery without seeing it on camera.
Yes, right.
So she goes to the birth, and I'm thinking, okay, how's this one going to be different? And the different part is we don't get to see any of it.
We just have a baby.
Yeah, we just have a baby. And I say,
and
okay,
it's a boy.
It's a boy.
So it was a textbook pregnancy and a delivery not worth watching, which means it's all going to go to heck any second.
It's all
going
to go to heck, and especially because the new little brown girl is the one that delivered the baby.
Yep. 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 Yep.
So
yep,
how right. is this going to go down?
Yep. Uh-huh.
Yep. Oh, man. But it was great, too. Before they left that, went to another storyline, I liked that the little tableau. They had Dennis. He was the husband and father, child.
Yes.
He comes in there. Everything's right. Everything's perfect. And the next time they come back, Lucy's taking her blood pressure, Marjorie's blood pressure, and Marjorie's talking all about, everything's fine, and the poor baby kept me up all night. She's feeding like crazy. I could fill in for a dairy, and there's the flowers there from Dennis.
And then
strokes out.
The brain strokes out. Exactly.
Blood clot.
Strokes out.
In the brain.
And again, this one came completely out of surprise for me anyway. I don't know if you guys were thinking. I knew we knew something was going to come.
Oh,
but
yeah.
And I thought the preeclampsia thing was, you know, we've seen that a couple times. But Lucy figures it out, and I thought I don't know if they did any CG on
her lip. Yeah,
I was like,
get that lip hanging.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely had something.
She had something inside her mouth. They must have had like a hook or something apparatus that pulled her mouth out.
But it was bad.
That was hard.
It was good. Right? It was very well done.
Like, yeah,
very believable.
Yeah, exactly.
Very real.
It was, completely.
Yes.
And of course, the ambulance comes, and of course, May.
Oh, wait. And she did the test. The can you smile for me? Thing test. So that's one of the ways that you know, because half of the face doesn't.
Do you want to expound upon that about how we know? Because I don't know that test.
No, it's the strokes.
Oh gosh, don't okay. ask me. But there's an acronym, and
oh,
there are benchmarks.
It's like a whole
that you, exactly,
yeah,
there's
smart.
An acronym of tests
that.
And
smart or something like that.
I think that. Yeah. No,
no, no. Okay, we're
anyway,
gonna get killed.
I'm sure somebody will tell us when somebody's having a stroke.
Yeah, you don't want us around if that's gonna happen.
We can't help.
Sorry, I almost kicked over the wine bottle.
Oops, that could be bad.
Don't worry, I've got it.
It usually happens a little later in the day. Sammy's already hit it hard today.
That
so,
is so yeah. not true.
All right, so this happens, and they decide we got to take her to the hospital because who else can tend to her? And then at the hospital, there's not much they can do. But we also see Dennis is completely overwhelmed by this and somewhat inept. And more than anything, we realize that May's running the show.
May runs the show. I wasn't certain Dennis was the husband. I was like, is he just the baby daddy? Like,
yeah, exactly. Because she says they're only going to tell the next of kin. And
I'm on the next of kin.
And that's why I was confused.
Yeah, I was too, because I'm going, well, are they married?
Are they married? Was he just a side piece? Yeah, exactly. What's happening? But y'all got three kids.
But you also, from the, that's
like,
true.
Nowadays.
But don't you think from the way we, when we met Marjorie in the beginning, that that if she wasn't incoherent or unable to speak, I should say, she would be going up to
against
Mama.
Her mom.
She clearly calls her a cow and the whole thing. But poor Dennis has no ability to do that.
He has
so this
no
is
spine.
Yes, so this would be his opportunity to step forward. So, but he doesn't. Obviously, in the beginning, he just wants to speak to somebody but can't and doesn't even know how. Doesn't know what
and
to do.
He collapses into a chair.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. All right, but then the storyline continues with Dr. Turner being involved, saying, "Hey, look, I found some place for her in occupational therapy, all this other stuff." Or is that
no? That comes a little bit later. So,
first
we have to talk about the about her May talking about Lucy not being. Being a foreigner, not being a proper midwife. I heard she was a librarian.
Yes. Like, that would be a bad thing, Well, but I love that Val gave the full CV in front of everybody. Again, that's why I liked it being in the salon, because how many times we had everybody listening in on everybody's business, and then we used it to our advantage to some degree, but I like that.
Right, and Val had the credibility because
she was a local.
Local,
exactly.
Yeah, and so she had the credibility of all those people sitting there, as well as all of the parties involved.
Right.
And so I thought that was really,
it was great that she did it in front of everybody. But of course, May, when she overhears everybody gossiping later about how it was
May's fault.
This happened to Marjorie, because how could it happen to somebody so young?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, since she overhears this, and we actually had. Who was there? Was it Violet? Violet was there, wasn't he?
Yeah, Violet was in the salon.
Salon.
Yes. Yeah.
So she was there too. So she knows all this.
Mrs. Buckle.
Yes,
Mrs. Buckle.
May, of course, the horror, the embarrassment, the guilt, the shame, whatever it is that's all going through her about that is overwhelming. So then she decides, let's take it on the road.
Take it to the clinic. Let's get some milk.
Take our show on the road.
Exactly.
And tell everybody.
Right. So they're going to tell me they're going to tell my little salon. I'm going to go to clinic and tell everybody there.
Right. And she was very like, I'm not even finished.
Yeah.
Yet, right,
mm-hmm.
and everyone's
so
looking
rude.
At her, and
then it was the term the filthy hands.
Yeah, get your hands off of my grandchild.
Yes.
Yeah,
and then she did. Not only do I not want Lucy there, I don't want
anybody
there. So it's clearly
she's
scorched
a
earth process. Process.
A lot of pain going
heifer.
On there. heifer coming back again. All right, and then we continue with that with. Is that when we go, we finally decide that, because Lucy has a discussion. She finds out from Phyllis that Phyllis and Sister Julian have decided to take her off
this,
we're going to
take her off
to spare her.
Yes, to spare her.
Yes.
Right.
Which, you know.
Again, I love how every single conversation in this process was done with kindness.
Sure.
Because it wasn't we're taking you off because we blame you, you can't handle it.
Right.
It was, we don't want you to go through this.
Right.
We don't want you to be the subject of the scorn and all that kind of stuff, which was a valid point, I thought.
Yeah,
however,
absolutely. But I like the turn. I like
Lucy's turn. Lucy's
I like
point
that because you know you might have seen those storylines before, but I liked her positioning Lucy in a different place, which is, hey, you're not your place to decide for me what I can endure. And we don't know Lucy's past. We don't know what she's been able to do. We don't know her yet.
Mm-hmm.
And she's trying to say the same thing.
Well, and it will look as though Mrs. Stanton's slurs are justified.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And
which is
or completely that you might
not
believe
cool
in
by anyone.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And nothing pleases a person that's being attacked in that way more than to have to force the attacker to deal with them and continue to show them, like, guess what? You're so wrong and you're stupid.
And you're stupid.
Congratulations, call the midwife.
That's just stupid.
Excellent job.
But a stupid cow.
Exactly. No offense to cows.
No,
stupid cow with bad hair, because everybody else's hair was kind of cute and yours wasn't so great.
I didn't notice that part. Okay.
Her bangs were a little too short.
Too short.
Is that right?
Yep, they were.
Wow.
Even for the 60s, okay?
Yes, they were.
See, I'm so thankful that you guys know these things, because I
make a note of that.
I had not noticed that. And this now I have to go back here, and look at it and go,
look at it and be like,
okay, yeah, they're right. Look, I can see the dimension, the proportionality is all wrong.
You're off, honey.
Yeah.
Your bouffant was a little high.
But again, then we go back to the parallel scene where this time Lucy's coming, and instead of Val saying everything in front of the gossipers and the yentas, because they also use the term, because in the earlier scenes, May said, I heard rumors, and talked badly about Lucy. Now Lucy comes in and says, I've heard rumors, because she said, it's not your fault, it's not my fault. And May says, well, I never said it was. Right. And she said, and that's when Lucy says, well, I've heard rumors. So we still get that whole rumor mill going on there. And then again, she uses it to her advantage, because I like the way she confronts her and the way she does. She could have dressed her down all kinds of ways.
Yeah.
But she did.
It is not the call the midwife way.
I know exactly.
And it was, no, it is not.
Yeah, and it made the turn much easier for May, because she did get to at some point save face.
Yeah, let's maybe now it's time to set the record straight or the rumors straight.
Right, exactly. And I was waiting for somebody to go. Mm-hmm.
You mean yours?
And look at exactly. Look at all the gossipers. Hello, huh? Pass that on, will you?
Anybody want to raise their hand?
So, but, you know, she, even though she turned a little bit, you know, she still had difficulty with it, which was, you know, the way you would expect it, meaning May. Mm-hmm. But she did, you know, the little olive branch about who does your hair. And I'm going,
talk about mom.
Well, yeah. That was a little nice little moment there, because the way she was talking about her mom, I was going, oh, that's right, you know, because we don't know her story yet.
Nope.
So it was good to hear that. And that is kind of right there. It was like, all right, you're getting close. I didn't. No tears, but I got close.
Close. The whole kitchen table playing your hair.
Yeah, exactly.
That's something we've all done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was incredibly sweet. Also, just to go back to Val in that scene, talking about how she was from the East End, and I'm ashamed that one of mine would speak that way to you. Mm-hmm. So she was apologizing on behalf of the community.
Sure.
Again, you know, creating unity as well as...
Well, and it's a callback to what we were saying last week, well, what they were saying last week. Well, what happens if something goes awry or somebody says something wrong? Then we have to do something. And this for me was the example for what others might do in the real world right now. Maybe, you know,
think about it.
Possibility that, you know,
the visual that really spoke to me in this was when the ambulance came to take Marjorie away,
right?
And sort of all those ladies were standing out there, and Lucy and Val were standing there, and they grabbed hands, you know, standing there in their uniform, realizing this is, again, one of those difficulties of the profession that they've come in.
Sure.
And strong women, if we can band together, we can get through the hardest of hardships.
We have, and we always do.
Thank you.
And we're just here for eye candy. So. If you take this particular episode, we're pretty inept men. We couldn't do anything. Dennis couldn't do much. Mr. Romaine was like,
but then you step up to the plate.
Yeah.
Eventually,
exactly.
Right. So Dennis. Okay. First of all, I just can we just talk a little bit about his face?
He's so cute.
He's adorable.
Cartoon character.
Very. That's exactly what I said. He looked like he looked a little like, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but he looked kind of like Beetle Bailey is what came to me, the cartoon.
Oh, sure, okay.
You know, with just those, he had very, you know, big exaggerated eyes, kind of that perfect little, what they would call a button nose, you know?
I thought of Calvin and Hobbes.
Oh, okay, sure. He looked like a cartoon character. And with that face, you got to be a little careful with your expressions.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, and I, you know, but, and what was the scene that you liked so much? Was it the one where he was saying, "I'm your husband"?
Well, he finally talked to May and said,
"I'll be here because I'm her husband."
Yeah, that kind of thing.
And he handed her her nightgown or whatever.
Yeah,
I was like, "Get her out of there!"
Yeah,
yes, get her out.
But he was so upset when she was like. like, I'll be in here. I'll take care of everything. Exactly. I'm like, wait, is that her husband or not? Like, I was so confused. I'm like, she just put you on the couch? Like, and you're fine with it?
Yeah. However, it's a mother and a husband. I can see both sides of that.
Yeah, it was 1963, too.
I mean, you don't want him changing her diaper and that kind of thing, so I get it. But still, he just went with it.
But then redeemed himself.
That was that character. They chose that for that character because he just seemed hapless. He had no idea what the hell was going on.
Right.
And I don't know how to do it. And I loved his, he was afraid of doing anything because he couldn't do it right.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to get his head bitten off.
And you got to see why.
With a cow of a mother-in-law.
He wasn't wrong.
Where were we on those? Oh, did we?
Occupational therapy.
Yeah, because Dr. Turner finds some place for her.
Yeah.
Oh, one thing going back to when Val was apologizing.
Yes.
And just that she felt like she should and stuff. We got the backstory of her and the army and stuff because we didn't know that.
Right. Oh, right. Moment where she held the soldier's hand.
Right.
Overnight, I said, I'll
and
be
I thought mom. that was a good because we've all had understanding of being bullied or in some way being left out or being the other.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was a good connection to make.
Yeah,
because then that was her experience and stuff like that.
So and then also the one very specific thing that Lucy said was that people were afraid that the black would rub off on their skin.
Yeah.
And just the ignorance, the pain.
Most times you think you want it. That's what the sun is about.
All right. I'll take it. I thought this was an interesting way to approach the racism storyline because it was one of those ones that was kind of subtle in certain ways. You know, they weren't exactly saying the words,
They just use all the coded words.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. And I was curious how they were going to tackle it based on the tone of Call the Midwife. And like you said, even when you're talking about when she confronts May and says everything, like she could have read her for filth and she didn't. Like, how are they going to make this happen and not make it
something we've seen before?
Something that is almost insulting to what it actually would exist, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So it was still an honest portrayal, and it still is gut-wrenching and made me uncomfortable and all of that, but it also was able to maintain what Call the Midwife.
Right.
Kindness, love, sensitivity is. So they didn't gloss over it,
they are twirling a lot of plates.
They can spin a lot.
Yes, exactly. So, and we finally get to the occupational therapy thing. We see the environment that...
It was harsh. May, we're all like, give her a chance. Like, take it. But at the same time, as May, I would be like, I don't want my daughter with these old people. And feeling like that is kind of bleak also. So
I know. You do, because also she was talking about how, I think it was at the clinic where she says my daughter should be changing her baby's nappies.
Yes.
And I'm changing hers, and the whole tragedy of that, and then you see what she has to go through because she has to run upstairs to make sure daughter's taken care of while she's taking care of everybody, and she doesn't think the son can do anything.
It's a
lot to deal with. So we do get to see some of that. It doesn't really excuse the manner in which she does
not at all.
Do understand it. And I don't want my daughter here. And that's it. I'm out. And everything like that. But that does make it more satisfying when Lucy goes to Dennis and says, "Hey, look,
be a man."
Exactly.
Man up. Please.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I was thinking of last week when they said, midwives, we take care of everything. That's what we do.
Yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing.
Yeah, because it's like, they even go in there and give
a dressing down. Here are your dust tails when you need them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was the thing that he did a really good job on. I thought that was written well, and it was well within his character to say it and be awkward about it, but be definitive enough where May got it and everything like that. And the handing of the pajamas or bedclothes, whatever the hell it was. So that was good to see. And then we also got the tableau at the end, so we get the nice bookend because when they're looking in the mirror together, and even the way he's talking to May, he says, "You, Marjorie, the kids." And you...
Right, and then, there was, a tiny minor hesitation. It was like, what about me? And he goes, and you.
I was going to get through this together.
Because how else could you?
Exactly.
You couldn't. You
couldn't. You couldn't.
Ridiculous.
Because that is life in Poplar in 1963.
Now, the one other thing I always really wanted to make sure that we talk about is the moment between Lucy and Monica Joan when they're talking about this. and with Marjorie. Book. Yeah, but prior to that, poor Marjorie, she has to be stuck in these four walls, and
what
cannot be changed must be endured.
Yeah, and again, it's Monica Jones, the way she's saying it, and it's like the gravitas and everything with it, and then she's talking about, is that what you really believe? And as I was a younger girl, maybe not, but now with age and experience, hope is dim. That I'm just going,
hope is dim, guys.
Yeah,
we keep getting old.
I have some conversation to talk about that in news. All right, we'll get to that later. Couple of things. So that then. Lucy saying, well, shall I read to you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then Monica Joan, well, if you're lonely, I could keep you company. I loved that. Yeah. I loved that.
And I just like how it looked. Like, Monica Joan was sort of like soft and in the darker sort of color. Yes. And then we have Lucy here in her bright, she was like wearing fuchsia or something.
Yeah, what was it?
Something like lively, and she's just beautiful. She's like, but sweet and young, and like just the juxtaposition of the bleak cold. But then the whole
hopeless
hope, and it was too much, and the image of it, just even without the words, was beautiful and remarkable.
That's a great I don't know how far they're going to go with that relationship, but I love the two of them. I love them in the first time they met, where they were bonding over the books and then not bonding over the Dewey Decimal System. I thought that was great, so I hope they keep that going. That seems to be very it's just very fun to watch.
Yeah, so. And then the final scene with them involving the dinner.
Because Valerie invited some friends over to, I guess, bake
stuff. Teach them how to make some Jamaican food.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And so they shared it.
But my favorite was when they showed the thing and they pan up and you see Sister Monica Jones' face.
She's horrified. What is she horrified?
Well,
I don't know.
Well, I think because
is it too much.
I think it's she's not used to these desserts or whatever they were. She she likes her desserts and everything, but she's
like,
familiar with
this.
To me, it looks like what
some
I don't
Jamaican
know
beef
these.
Patties
yeah, exactly. I don't I don't even know if they were desserts. She said
I don't know plantains.
Sister Winifred said cream puff. I think there was a
dumpling. There was dumplings.
So I don't know what it was, but I just know that Monica.
She was like, I don't know what this is.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a lot of it.
Yeah.
And there's saffron involved. Yeah. I can tell that.
And I'm sure it smells like, definitely doesn't smell like English
exactly.
food.
Exactly. Right? The look was spices. Priceless.
There are spices beyond salt and pepper.
Oh my gosh.
Just priceless. Yeah. I had to watch it again. I enjoyed it so much.
But I wanted to eat.
So good. Yeah. Well, there's that.
Definitely wanted to eat.
But that was also a nice callback, too, because when Valley had, prior to her apologizing, she said, we missed you last night. She was talking to Lucy. We missed you last night. We needed a librarian because we're playing Scrabble, that whole thing.
Oh, right.
She said she had a headache, and who knows why she didn't participate, but maybe she did have a headache. But here we do get to see them actually be together. That was kind of nice.
Yeah.
It was lovely.
Yes, it was.
It was.
Anything else on that?
No, I'm exhausted.
I just wanted Jamaican beef patty.
I just wanted some fried plantains and vanilla ice cream. What do you got next, John?
I want to go to Winifred because the Winifred and the whole
Winifred.
So we got to see the Muppets, but and the
I don't understand
what did she call them? The
I don't even know
what iced poof? Buns.
Iced buns.
Like, iced what? Buns.
I don't.
Okay, that was first of all just hilarious.
Yeah,
that was so ridiculous.
It was. I was like, is she making...
Oh, wool crafts are the refuge of a dull mind. Being a crafter myself, I would just like to take umbrage with that statement.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay,
so I thought that
And
was
that they
better.
Go rolling down the street.
And bump into Sergeant
Fred
Wolf, of course.
Them.
Yeah, exactly.
The police constable sees them.
And Sister Winifred, she's playing with
she's
them.
She's got...
Yeah. I can't believe they actually did the... Here, take a look at my melons. Take a look at my iced buns.
Yeah,
It was hilarious, but it surprised me.
I kept saying, is this real life? Did they come up with this in the writer's room?
I don't,
did they have an example? Like, they used to use the sock puppet and did... So like, where did this come from?
Louise Ironside wrote this one, so I don't know.
Oh, my God.
So I thought the actual ice bun or whatever, I was like...
The
boobies.
Okay.
The boobies, with a very vibrant areola. it was quite... I thought, okay, all right, fine. We'll go there.
I mean, they are vibrant.
That's true. But then when she actually made the sock puppet...
suck.
It has to go up and around and everything. I'm going, which is fine, you know, because that's what you have to teach people. We have a friend who's a lactation consultant, so I certainly know all about it and everything like that. It's just that, you know, it was weird when you see a nun do it and anything like that. So,
and sitting there with it, it just was really awkward.
Yeah, I was going, okay, what's going to happen the next time you come back to the storyline? Because where else are you going to go with that? Okay, but anyway, that leads us to the Romaines.
Yes.
And right.
And the husband and wife. Because Mrs. Romaine is bragging about her hubby.
Perfect.
Oh, my God. And again, now this to me was just like the salon. I thought they were parallel scenes. We have the gossiping going on in the salon, and here's all the kibitzing going on here with the ladies.
Right.
And one of them being, oh, yes.
So condescending and superior.
Yeah.
So much so that I need a little more wine. How about you?
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, look.
We still got 18 minutes.
Exactly. So we get Mrs. Romaine decides to brag about her husband. And now, once she does, of course, she has to raise the stakes.
She raises the stakes.
Of course. Because her manly man husband is a soccer coach, known as football.
Yes, exactly. But so it gets Winifred the idea that she's going to suggest the whole idea, let's have men come into the
class. They should be able to help take care of their babies.
Sure.
Mothercraft.
Classes.
Thank you, Mothercraft.
Right.
And I like the discussion at the Nanata's house when all the ladies are around. We get to decide, you know, it's a good idea, it's a bad idea. And Sister Julian, do you think she turned to Monica Jones to include her because of what we've, the things, the challenges?
Both. I think absolutely both. Mm-hmm. She definitely wanted to include her, make her feel important and valid. Mm-hmm. So validating her. But then also, you know, she would probably have good insight based on the fact that she's been a midwife since episode one, people.
1895.
But she still had great insight. She made the wonderful comments.
Yeah, she did.
She did. She had that comment about Lot. And
one must not be like Lot's wife, frozen in the act of looking backward.
I want that on my wall.
Life lesson, right?
I want it on my wall. I was like, who are you people?
I know.
Up with this dialogue.
I'm putting that in my journal.
Yes.
I totally agree. I thought that was incredible.
It was, but I put it in yesterday, so I can't look back at it.
Okay.
I want
a Garibaldi cookie. Can someone tell me what that is? Or a Garibaldi biscuit.
Yeah. Well, and also, Mrs. Romaine first came in to the clinic, and Phyllis was saying, you've lost some weight because, you know, she and her husband are falling out, so she hasn't eaten. And so
Phyllis, I'm going to close the doors behind me, and we're going to talk.
Yeah. And she had a nice line about, you know, your father is not there to guide his child through the birth canal,
but through life. So. Mm-hmm. Loved it.
They're so smart. They're just so
seriously,
smart.
Seriously, can we just have a midwife
on call?
I just
want a midwife. Like, talk
for
to
life
me.
Lessons?
Yeah. Like, I can't make it today. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
And here's why. I'm going to give you a little nugget of wisdom.
That should be part of their, part of their universe, called the midwife universe. Yeah. They should have a 1-800 call the midwife, so you can just call and ask for help.
Yeah, they do. Yeah,
exactly. Nugget of
they
wisdom.
Need it online.
Yeah.
That should be part of it.
Totally.
So Mrs. Romaine decides that she's going to, Winifred says, we'll have the men come there. And he's the only man, the only husband, father to show up. Mm-hmm. But Mrs. Romaine decides to take it even farther.
She's like, you come
to the birth? Sure, of course he will.
Don't
and
you
just the look on his
child?
Face like, wait a minute.
I don't want to miss the game.
Exactly. He does all this backpedaling afterwards.
I'm going to miss the game.
And again, the way they compose the shot, you know, the two of them in the foreground talking about it. In the background, we have the two women. Yeah.
Like, he ain't nothing, just like ours ain't nothing. And I didn't say nothing. I said, shh. On the inside.
On the inside. But then
they have the big argument.
Yes.
And he says no. And then, of course, he's getting ready for his game with his guy.
Big game
guys.
With the guys.
We even had the doing for the big Gipper scene. And then the labor happens. And then we literally have a delivery van.
Yeah.
So,
came up with that himself.
Oh,
even though our secret agent just sent me that joke.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Wow, that's good. I'm in good company.
You are. So, right. I know. So, she's clever.
Exactly. And of course, we've had Winifred ask to borrow a vehicle once.
Twice.
And then, of course, the third time she doesn't ask. She sees the case. He steals it.
Taking the car.
None on the run stealing the car.
None on the run.
That's right.
Indeed.
And of course, we get stuck by the other car. They can't move. Their brakes are locked.
Car's blocking the street. Yeah. She just leaves the keys in the car.
Just leaves it in there. It's like, okay, yeah.
All right, girl.
But gets there. Just in time. Yep. And that, what was the term? I think you liked the marmot when she gets there and she's, oh, you're doing really well. No. Do you have anything to wrap the baby in? And he says, yeah,
there's rags up front.
Like, you can go get that.
Maybe you go get them because yeah. I'm going to do the midwife thing. Catcher boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a mess. But I think my favorite part is, yes. Do you want to cut the cord?
That how he's coaching her.
Oh,
come
that's
on!
That's true. Yeah, exactly.
You can do it.
Like, I think she knows
almost
what
made
to
it
do
to
now.
The finish line.
I would kill my husband. I literally.
I loved it. I thought
he's only been to one class.
I would have punched him in the throat. Like, shut up.
Would you like to cut the cord? Though yeah. That was hilarious.
Yeah,
precious.
Yeah, and she knows instantly. She says, "Yeah, put your head between your knees.
You're gonna die."
But I thought even his little storyline about, you know, the fact that he's the oldest of six and they were born at home. Mm-hmm. And it's, and
I heard the screams and through the thin walls.
And if you're the oldest and the first one comes, I don't know how old you are. What are you, 2, 3, 4? Who knows how old you are when the first one happens? I mean, I can't imagine the trauma of that because it doesn't sound like a picnic.
It sounds like someone is dying.
Oh, it's horrible.
Dying.
Yeah.
And so. It looks like somebody's dying, too.
Well, yeah I've seen it. Let's be honest. It's gnarly.
Yeah, so and Winifred had that line about, you know, what scares us in the present is often from the past or whatever. Anyway, so that was a nice. I'm glad they took the time to do that because otherwise he's just a guy that's not, you know, can't be there for his wife.
Wife
really,
you
want to go that?
I
don't want
again.
That. Exactly.
Yeah. He stepped up to the plate.
He did too, with a nice sports metaphor.
Yeah. Because
he is a coach.
He is a coach.
Yes, he is. I loved that. I thought it was really
clever.
Oh, the part,
yeah, when
funny.
He starts. Yeah, when he starts coaching.
Yeah, you can do it.
It worked perfectly.
It was great. It was what he knew.
Yeah, exactly.
It was what he knew.
Yeah.
We're running low on time. We
we better get going. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the Magda Ha-Ha-Ha.
Magdalena,
or Magda Hubba-Hubba-Hubba, or Magda Hadi-Hadi, I don't know how
to say it.
Hungarian goulash is what she is.
Apparently it can be also indecent.
But I love the picture, the stern-looking picture.
That looked, I mean, it was the same face, because I watched it twice, but...
Yeah.
Seriously.
But she's from a communist country.
Yeah. And she got to loosen up. She's in England now.
Wow, because she did look
put her arms out.
She'd been to a salon or two, and I don't think Mays.
No.
When she shows up.
No.
Bump a cardigan.
Exactly. And I loved all the little lines. Like, you know.
She was great.
Your home is very pleasing, and so is your husband.
We have this. What was this? What kind of conversation? Very intriguing or interesting conversation.
Yes.
It was
so refreshing.
Yeah.
Because you're really boring, honey.
And then there was a little coffee incident. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Your coffee beats the stuff. Beats the stuff I'm used to.
And she was like, I make you coffee every day.
Exactly.
Because I like medical men.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because my father was one. And then she even makes spicy eggs. Literally spicing up their life. Because all the boring stuff they eat before that.
Spicing up Timothy's life.
When is Sheila going to go, all right.
And then she does.
Well, yeah, but it's still...
Sort of.
Yeah, she does, but it's about the Timothy, because obviously Timothy is just nuts.
He's smitten.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
Puberty, hey.
Yeah.
Pretty ladies.
Yeah, and I love the little jam thing. Oh, jeez. I'll take the bag, yeah.
How old is Timothy now? He's 16? 17, maybe?
16, I'd say. At least
16.
Because he's practically in university.
Oh, yes. Yeah, exactly. He had to let her know that. Mm-hmm. Girl, it's almost legal.
Yeah. And talking about how groovy, he prefers
groovy
music.
Instead of the boring BBC, he was like groovy Luxembourg or whatever it was.
It's probably the first time he's used that. Groovy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's there now. He's peeling potatoes. He's washing dishes.
Washing dishes.
And cleaning windows.
Do it, Timothy.
Yeah, it's like, all right, tone it down. Play it cool.
All right, I got a little joke for you from our secret agent, Magda the Hungarian. She's less an au pair, more of a ho pair.
Oh, there you go.
Whoa pair.
Ouch. Yeah.
Nice one. And we're calling it Coco Van Gate.
If you like that kind of thing.
Yeah. If you like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, on a serious note,
oh, yes.
I'm hoping that... Now, the Turners, their storylines have sort of turned toward the campy.
Yes.
Well, they actually were camping.
Literally camping.
Yeah. How many times have we said literally in this business?
But it's true.
No, it's not your fault. It's mine. I said it like four times.
I blame you.
Thank you.
But they, you know, they sort of play it for laughs.
Yeah.
And sometimes. If you'll remember, the way Sheila and Patrick got together was incredibly touching and incredibly heart-wrenching.
Well,
because
they also
there was
had the
thalidomide.
Thank you.
Thalidomide thing. No, but I mean like way back
them
getting together.
Sure.
So, I mean, I understand them wanting to create humor, but but sometimes their storyline, especially like them moving to the new house and, you know, the sort of, it sort of edges on silliness for me sometimes. And the seriousness of puppy love,
heartbreak
love,
of it.
Exactly. The heartbreak of it. Yeah. I hope they really go there with this season because Timothy is going to take this very seriously. Magda, you know, if they do continue the storyline, is going to break his heart. And I think it's a real opportunity for some of the awesome tears that we all love so much.
That's true.
Poor Timothy.
poor Timothy. Timothy.
And it has to be Timothy because they've kind of gotten their fairy tale. And now I sort of look at them, like you said, like I look at them to see the weirdness of all the green in the house and
the
like
turquoise.
The turquoise. All of that. So I'm not really looking at them and their relationship for the meat of anything anymore.
Yeah.
So it would be nice if Timothy had his little moment, because the last time he had a moment was the polio thing. And that was like his serious. And now that he's sort of coming of age, I feel like that would be the next phase for their family.
Because I have to be honest, I don't love the silliness that has infiltrated Call the Midwife from the Turners. It just feels slightly out of tone for me. I don't mean to be critical. I am
to Tamara Burke.
But I know right to me directly. I think that I love the humor. I think there's opportunity for humor. I just feel like this particular the particular way it's going, it's just not. It's not my most desired taste for humor.
So let me ask you this then. So
help me, John. Save me.
Despite Dr. Turner's protestations to the contrary, you don't think that there's going to be any jealousy issue with him and Dr. Turner and Magda? You don't think that's a possibility? You don't think they'll do that? You don't think they'll go there?
I don't. Courtney?
I would like them to go there, but I think they're going to stick with Timothy.
You would like them together because it's more painful?
I think just because it's more challenging, and I'd like to see it. If I were writing it, I'd like to see the jealousy come because also the son sees that Magda is more like not necessarily into the father, just because. But I would like to see that father son sort of conflict, even if it's completely not Dr. Turner trying to do it. Like,
Magda might have that
somehow works with it, and let Sheila sort of work
so
in that
some sort
kind
of love
way.
Triangle with so, Dr. Sort of, Turner not really of, participating.
And maybe he's like completely not aware, because I feel like he's not aware of most things. Other than being
Timothy,
doctor,
do you mean?
Dr. Turner. But I do still enjoy the lightheartedness, like when he was telling Sheila she had a tone, and when Sheila's talking about telling the girl to put on a cardigan, like those little side comments I enjoy thoroughly, because that's a real quiet shade that kind of reminds me of the Dowager from
Downton Abbey.
So I appreciate it, but I get what you're saying too.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
I love you.
Yeah. We're both right.
Yeah,
because we're always right.
Because we are.
Well, I'm sure they'll handle it definitely just as they handle this episode and these particular subject matters. So hopefully we'll see some fun and get some depth out of that.
Yeah,
for sure.
All right, we got to speaking of depth. Let's go to Trixie.
Reading the home, is always on point.
Right.
Yes.
Her home management book.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was nice. Again, this is going back to that storyline where we're all trying to be the better
that's
self.
That's cute.
And stuff. Yeah. But of course, the dust on nobody's read this book.
No.
I don't know if it was hers or it was in the library, whatever it is, but nobody's read
Another thing from 1895.
Yeah. Exactly.
Monica Jones was starting out.
Exactly.
Yeah. So she's reading it, though, but very, you know. Seriously, or
yes,
you think, you
she's
know,
taking it very seriously.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely,
you know, because and Dr. Chris has decided that he wants to have another
more,
chance to get away,
some more alone time, if you know what I mean. Nudge, and nudge, wink, wink.
And they, obviously, she invites him over. She thinks he thinks they're going to go out, and then she's
Like, no, honey, I cooked for you.
I don't know what that was. Is that a common dish?
That's what
appetizer?
I asked. Roasting up your grapefruits.
Yeah, on the grill, I think is what she used.
Well, she put it under the broiler. My dad taught me that.
Is that right?
When I was a kid. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's bruleeing, basically. Okay.
Is it always done with a grapefruit, or is it?
Yeah.
It is.
Well, okay. Because the sweetness offsets the bitter and I don't know. But anyway, she didn't do it right.
It looked tasty, though.
It looked delicious. Yeah. I was so. But I also wondered, was that the whole meal?
Yeah.
Were we just going to eat grapefruit? Yeah. Can we get some chicken?
That was
my question.
Especially because it's still probably late winter, early spring at this point.
Yeah.
Where's the grapefruit coming from? Jamaica, maybe.
Yeah, came on the boat, guys.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But of course, and he says it doesn't matter.
I love you anyway.
And Alexandra loves you.
But then she did have her nice little monologue, sort of about how her heart was so broken and she never would see herself anywhere. And like now, and funny how life changes.
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? Yeah, I like that.
I did too.
I thought it was a nice counterpoint to what Phyllis said, which is it can change in a minute. She's talking about Marjorie, and then we get to see, you know, it can, because it always does.
For the better or worse.
So it also sets up, so what is going to happen to them?
It's all good.
Because, again, they're on the trajectory of, hey, everything's great.
Right, and we saw the coming ups.
It's
all good until somebody strokes out.
He loves spending time with
Okay, can I do some news really quick?
Yes, go ahead, news.
I know we only have like a minute for me to do this. Creator Heidi Thomas rejects the idea that the cast of Call the Midwife is getting too old, but she admitted she's enjoying taking the characters to new places. One thing I'm enjoying is that I've crafted the storyline for Judy Parfitt, who plays Sister Monica Joan, over the body of the series, failing eyesight and the opportunity to explore the intricacies of aging.
Right.
I love writing for her. She never disappoints. Heidi Thomas also insisted that none of the main cast will die soon.
Okay, but what does that mean about...
I just want to be clear about that.
The main cast.
But the character's health will take a dramatic knock. So just letting you know, even though we said she might die, she's probably not going to die.
She'll just be in a coma.
Helen George, who played Trixie, had to resort to special measures to cover up her baby bump when shooting. She said she was very pregnant with her daughter, Ren Ivy, during the production. She said, I did the Christmas special and the first four episodes, but after that, I was too big. I was always carrying things or sitting behind a high desk to conceal my bump. My face and boobs were getting bigger and bigger. It was ridiculous. And if you go back and watch, you can see there are always things in front of her. Okay, just quickly, we talked about the fact that Jennifer Wirth's memoirs were the basis for Call the Midwife, but it never would have existed without real-life midwife Terry Coates, who is coming up on her 43rd year with the National Health System.
Wow.
So she wrote a rant that went in the Midwives Journal that was 8,000 words. It got cut down to 1,500 words. It went other places. My conclusion was that somebody out there could put midwives in a good life, in a good light, and show and tell the public what they actually did. She got a manuscript from Jennifer Wirth, and that became called The Midwife, the books. Terry Coates is still the consultant on births on Call the Midwife.
Awesome.
So anyway, there's more info about that. Finally, check my Twitter feed to see our own Courtney Stewart in the new Amazon Chad video.
Awesome.
You can find it on my feed at Tamara Berg, also hers, Stuart Starlet, and some quick shout outs. Hey, Lee Ferguson, Helena Huang, Ilse Loca, Marilee Ortega, JOK394, Aurelia Ansa, and Special Agent in the UK. And if you're listening, please comment on iTunes for us. It really helps us out if you do.
We love you.
Thank you, guys. We appreciate that.
Appreciate you.
Well, I guess that wraps up.
It kind of does.
This
so
after
too.
Shows. It was very pleasure being here. Tell them again where they can find you.
I'm all over the stuffs at Stuart Starlin.
Tamara Berg on Twitter, Tamara A. Berg on Instagram, you guys.
John at nowhere.com.
Home Depot.
Just here next Monday.
Oh, that's right. We'll see you next Monday. Thanks again for joining us. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye you guys. Thanks.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Cup of tea with Brandy.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only. They do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.